Hello, everybody.
I have something way more important than saying hello to everybody. For the last 49 episodes, today's 450, right?
I think it's 449.
Is today 449 or 450?
I think it's 449.
Damn it. Anyways, for 440 some odd episodes, you've listened to me rant and rave over nothingness. I've talked about all kinds of stupid stuff. I've said all kinds of stupid things. And in February, there's one thing I always say. And I didn't say it this year because I want to say I lost a little bit of faith. Maybe I didn't lose a little faith. Maybe the fact is that I'm just retarded. No, today is 450. Yes, last week was 449.
Okay.
So, with pride.
With pride.
With pride and a tear in my eye. I get to say something that I never thought I'd ever get to say on the Doghouse.
Uh-oh.
We won the Beanpot. Northeastern University. For 10 years now. 10 years. Damn near 10 years. You people, you the listener, and I did mean that in every derogatory sense of the word, have listened to me in February. I wear my Northeastern jersey. Warren, what's up on the wall?
Northeastern.
I wear my Northeastern jersey, and I say the first Monday, we want the bean pot, and the second Monday, I'm usually crying
because
we've already
over.
Been eliminated, and the party's already been over. And a couple times we make it through, and I'm all excited, and I'm fist pumping. But this year, 5-2, first bean pot win for the Northeastern University Huskies, the furry mammals of lust and destruction, the dirty dogs of Hockey East. One, the bean pot, the freaking bean pot.
So what's the mascot's name again?
Or Huskies. Mr. Husky.
Okay.
Right, but I call them the furry mammals of lust and destruction.
So they just haven't been very lustful or destructive. Like,
no, they have not in the bean pot. They've done all right season to season and stuff like that, but they've had a curse, and it's their first bean pot champion since 1988, even before I went to Northeastern. How's that? The drought is over.
Let the next 10 years begin.
10-30. Our longest drought until this last drought, we had the record for 28 years in a drought. And now we're at 30 years in a drought, which means we'll win another. I'll be dead by the time we win another bean pot. I'm fully accepting of that, but I did get to see them hoisted up. I know the guys were eating their beans out of the pot this morning. I'm excited. I never thought I'd get to say that on the Doghouse. I thought motorcycles would be gone and the internet would be over. And nobody would podcast anymore by the time they won. So good for you, furry mammals of lust and destruction. I'm proud. I almost said the F-bomb. I'm that proud. I am.
Well, I'm glad for you that you got to have at least one moment in your life.
Of pride.
Of pride.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I don't get them often, right? My guys never win, right? I pick people that lose. That's what I do.
That's why you're here.
That is why I'm here. So I'm very excited about that. We got a lot of news. It was a weird, my weekend of sports was up and down and all over the place. I was happy, I was sad, I was emotional. No, that's actually true. But I did have a lot. We got a lot to talk about in Supercross. We got a ton to talk about in Supercross.
Yes, we can start with the big off-race day news. Ronnie Millsap's retired. Not Ronnie Millsap.
Davey Millsap.
I don't even like country music, and I still say that.
Right. You know, I mean, I thought you were going to be like Daryl Singletary died. whatever.
Davey Millsap announced his retirement.
Yes. Pretty much, I think, so that guys like Barsha could keep his job.
Well, no, he did it because he had and I knew he had an off-season injury, but obviously I didn't know it was as bad as it was. No. He had an off-season injury that sent him to the ICU with a major concussion that caused him to have a significant bleeding in the brain.
You know,
and a shattered elbow, yeah. AKA who else?
Yeah, we'll get to that guy in a few minutes.
And after all this time, because it was in the summer that he had it, the doctors, after consulting with the doctors, he just said it's just not worth it.
It's not. There comes a point where it's like you want to be healthy in your old age.
Yeah, and he's been racing for 14 years.
He has been. You know, he's not a big, it's not like he's going to be listed on the, man, he's got a lot of wins list. He just got a lot of hole shots. Davey Millsaps could get a hole shot. Didn't do much with it, But he did get a lot of hole shots. You know, he was always good for, like, Davey Millsap gets a hole shot, and then watch Davey Millsap fall through the field. But that's okay. He'll be missed. He was definitely a staple around the garage, some maturity there, some older guy. I don't think the sport, I don't want to sound like a jerk, the sport doesn't lose anything with him retiring. It's not like a four-time champ or something like that, you know. But he's definitely been a staple there, made a lot of main events. Had a very successful career. Rode for some of the big teams.
Was riding for Factory Yamaha when he...
Yeah, rode for Factory Yamaha, rode for Factory Kawasaki, rode for, I think at one time, he actually rode Factory Honda, too. So
he had a lot of top tens, which kept him relevant.
Right, yeah. I mean, he was definitely a relevant guy, just not a champ. And this show, we only care about the champs. Oh, no, that's not true. So let's get it. Supercross was in San Diego. I want to talk a little bit about the track.
The track was amazing.
I loved it.
It's not technically the track I liked the best so far, but it was, as far as the dirt went, as far as the layout went, it was really good track to watch.
I actually liked it the best so far. I loved that there were no big long straightaways, right? That kind of kept the Hondas and the Kawasaki's from overpowering other bikes. Right, I loved that the fastest way around at times was the shortest way, and at times it was the momentum. Right, I like a track where you can go on the outside and go the long way around the turn and still make time. Especially as that changed over the course of the night, I thought it was a great track. I really liked it, and I'll be honest with you, I know I kind of poo-pooed on Daniel Blair a couple weeks ago, like, oh, hey, does he really deserve to be there? Because who is he in the grand scheme of things? But I think as time goes on, he's getting a little more comfortable with doing Ricky Carmichael's job.
Yeah. I'd still like to know why Ricky's not doing it, though.
Well, two reasons. One, Ricky kind of runs Arena Cross now.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
And he also runs the company that makes the tracks for Supercross. But two, I've met Ricky. I like Ricky. Ricky Carmichael is the GOAT. I've never been starstruck with any celebrity except for the time that I had to go in his hall and interview Ricky Carmichael, and I screwed everything up on that interview. I stuttered. I did this. I even turned the mic off midway through a conversation because I gripped it too hard.
Ricky doesn't know
anything about racing. Ricky Carmichael. That's why he stunk in NASCAR. That's why he doesn't do anything else like that. Ricky Carmichael might be the best pure motocross athlete we've ever seen.
Well, I found his comments most of the time.
But somebody was feeding them to him. Ricky Carmichael doesn't understand how people struggle with a track because he was Ricky Carmichael. He never struggled. He was just that good. He was the type of rider that rides so good, and then when you say, hey, how'd you do that? He go, dead look at you in the face and be like, yeah, I have no idea. I just grabbed a handful of throttle and went. And that was serious because he didn't... I think when he reads tracks, he doesn't know he's reading tracks. Right? Like, when he looks at a track...
It's just there.
He's that guy. I imagine, you know, when I talk to some road racers and the guys who are really fast, and I don't know many of them on a personal level in the motorcycle industry, but I know one of the fastest men on four wheels, especially in road racing, is a guy I know who lives here in Northern Virginia, and he races a factory Corvette, you know, in IMSA, Tommy Milner. And I've talked to him, and, you know, what he says is, when I'm behind the wheel, everything slows down. He's not whizzing around at 120 miles an hour. He has time to think, right? Like the really fast guys, everything slows down and just fits. And when you ask Tommy how he passes people and stuff, he doesn't really know. But he's fast, right? He can describe it. He's definitely better at describing it than Ricky Carmichael has ever been, right? But he's just really... fast, and I think Ricky struggled with the job of doing the track side, and I think we'll see him. I don't think he's lost it because he's Ricky Carmichael, and if he wants it back, they'll give it back to him. But I think Daniel had to work for things. Daniel Blair had to work, right? He had to study the track. He had to learn about the ruts. He had to learn about how the track breaks down. He had to learn about all that kind of stuff to be competitive. He is a working man's racer. Ricky Carmichael is that kid who's in your gym class that can do everything the coach wants the first time and then, right? That was Ricky Carmichael. Now, what does that show you? Pure talent beats working hard, right? I mean, that's just the truth.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Pure talent always wins. But I think that Daniel is getting better at the working the track and telling you about things. Like I thought,
hey, but he's still having, you know, as far as the broadcast goes, he still doesn't seem to be fitting in with Ralph and Jeff so much.
Yeah, I don't think I think he's tight. To me, he looks tight. Yeah. He looks like he's still a little nervous, but I think he's getting better. And I genuinely thought his input was pretty interesting this time. You know, Ricky Carmichael's like, these ruts are going to get gnarly, and they're just going to get worse, and you're just going to have to go faster over them, right? Because that's what Ricky Carmichael would be. Whoo, them ruts are nasty. I'm just going to fly over them.
A few guys tried that this weekend, yeah, both in the 250s and the 450s, and it didn't work very well.
Not the track you want to try that on this week. First, I'd like to say congratulations to Aaron Plessinger, as Warren calls him, Big P. Apparently, the Big P paid off because he is going to have a baby boy. It was on his helmet. Right? I did
have that
right.
That was pretty sad.
That was pretty sad.
That was terrible. That's so terrible.
So, let's talk 250s. Early in the night, during the heat race, Jeff Emig, and, you know, I'm not going to badmouth Jeff Emig because, I mean, he is Jeff Emig, right? I won't badmouth Jeff Emig, but he is, he says, well, you know, some switch must have been flipped off in hell because last week he was doing really good and he was the fastest qualifier going in tonight. Yeah, here, let me tell you what that switch is. That was Yamaha saying, hey, bring, hello, hello. Oh, wait, I had the sound. I won't do the sound effect.
Too late.
Yeah, he's like, bring, hello. Yeah, hey, if you don't want to go fast on that bike, we will put somebody on it that will. Right? That's the big kick in the ass in Supercross, right? It's not like, oh, I figured out the track and I'm riding better. It's no, I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah. He's definitely, whatever was going on in his head or his body is fixed. Because he looked really good.
Yeah, that was. Hey, get your head out of your ass,
and
you better go fast.
Plessinger had a horrible start in the final.
Oh, in the final, yeah.
And then he also had the mistake where he cut. You know, even he dumped the bike and then cut across the track to get back in, which, according to the reports, is now going to cost him another position.
Well, it should.
He finished seventh overall. Now he's going to probably finish eighth overall.
It should, because he punted on a whole turn.
Yes.
Yeah, I caught that, and then they went back to it, and they were like, oh, did you see that? It's like, no, I caught that. He was, you know the old saying, I'm a New York Northeastern University Huskies fan, right? So I'm going to tell you the old saying, cheat to win, never give in. Go Plessinger, go. Right? Like, I'm fine with that, but it definitely was not a big he did himself no favors this week.
But Hill and C and Cirillo had a great fight for a while.
They did, and then Hill just walked the dog on him. Something's still wrong with Adam C. and Cirillo. I'm going to call him ACC from now on. But something's wrong with ACC. I don't know what it is. It might be all mental. It's like he's fast, but then he gets caught and he's not fast. I don't think it's injuries anymore. I think he's healed up. But he's not the he's not the Adam C. and Cirillo that came up that was running faster qualifying times than the guys on 450s when he first came up on his 250. Right, it's just not the same guy. Maybe the injuries, maybe a different coach. I don't know. Maybe he's getting older and he realized falling hurts. You got to have fear, something like that. But he's not the same.
He looked good.
He did look good, and that was a great finish for him.
But then towards the right when you could tell that Hill was sizing him up for a few laps.
Yeah, but to be honest with you,
and then they had a fight back and forth for a couple of laps, and then it was over.
It was a great points week for him because, with Plessinger getting crappy and then getting the penalty and stuff like that, you know, seeing Cirillo is still within 20 points of the lead. He's 1 point out of third place overall, you know, and he's about 13 points out of second place, right? It was definitely a good weekend, and he's been doing better the last couple races, I think. So we'll see how that works out.
Another guy who had
Suzuki got its first 250 win since 2013.
Really? I didn't realize it'd been that long.
I said Yamaha before. I meant Suzuki calling him up and being like, hey, get your ass going. We'll put somebody fast on a bike.
I didn't realize it'd been that long for Suzuki.
Yeah. That had been forever and a day for Suzuki in there. So that was kind of rough. But I'm glad to see Hill has shown up. A little too late, right?
No, he's, I don't think so.
29 points back. Well, they're going to take a 5-week break. And then they're going to come back and they're going to race against the guys who are all warmed up on the East in a,
yeah, you got
in
point
a showdown.
There. Yeah,
and then they're going to have another couple weeks off and then they're going to come back. Right?
It could be.
It's a little too late, right?
But then for somebody who's not, it's not too late for, is Sexton. He got on the podium with the third and he looked good getting there.
He did.
I think he would have been fighting for second had he not got held up by a lapper towards the end. I thought there for a few minutes, for a few laps, he was going to catch C and Cirillo, and there'd be a fight for second place.
Yeah, I don't know why he struggled so hard to get by that lapper. That guy didn't race him hard.
Well, obviously hard enough.
Yeah, well, you know
this is he is a rookie, and he's still learning.
He's still learning, and I also feel like some of the riders, and I would put him in with this, were scared to leave their own line for that track. I think that track was a slow momentum track. Right, and a lot of guys seemed really leery about leaving their line.
Yes, you could definitely see there's a few ruts that everyone liked because they kept getting deeper and deeper.
And it was not like, oh, I'm gonna go past them here, right? While there were plenty of rooms to pass if you had balls, and you were going all or nothing.
And there was a lot of that too.
There was a lot of that, and there was also a lot of, hey, I'm gonna visit the outside the dirt and. You know, there was a lot of that too, right? It was a lot of crash, bang, boom.
It was a track. If you was aggressive, you could do it. But at the same time, and we'll get into this, especially in the 450s, if you did it and you weren't quite on your game, it cost you and whoever you was racing.
Yeah. So let's get into 450s. Whew, a lot went on there. So I'm gonna, and I wrote notes, right? I just want to show Warren. I wrote notes, and if you look, and you look at my notes so that everybody knows I'm not making this up.
Ken Roczen sucks.
That's actually on page two. Page one was 250s.
I want to have whose baby? Who's that? I want to have whose baby?
Passenger's baby. but here are my first notes on the 450s. Right? It says between heat one and heat two, they showed, right? And it's written here, and I didn't write this after. I wrote this as I was watching. It says, they showed Roczen getting ready. No wrist turning ability at all in his left wrist. They were showing him. I actually said something to Warren about this over dinner. And I
noticed it, but it didn't register.
Right? And they showed him trying to put his goggles on. And he looked awkward and kind of struggled to put his goggles on. If you're struggling to put your goggles on, racing Supercross is probably not the right move. Now, that was my notes before any of the final happened. Right? So I just want to say that this is not, you know, for a couple weeks I said I thought it was a mistake. He came back too early. Heat 2 got red flagged for Bogle. We hope he's all right.
Oh, that's right. I meant to check and see what happened with him.
Yeah, he was, he took a nasty spill there. Yeah,
well, he had somebody land on him.
Well, yeah. That
usually is pretty nasty.
It was a nasty spill, and then he had somebody land on him. I'm not seeing, breaking his arm. He did break his arm.
So he's out for a while
He's out for a little while. It's his humerus in his right arm that broke.
He's not finding it humorous.
It is not very funny to him. I'm not seeing where they have an estimated time. It says here, we'll undergo evaluation this week to determine a time frame for recovery. So for a guy who's having a pretty good season, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, the 450 final started off with a big bang at the first turn.
Oh, wait, before we get into 450 finals.
I thought we were already there.
Can we talk about the KTM Juniors? I love that.
My wife loves those too.
I love those.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Before we end the show, I got to talk to you about a motorcycle movie that my wife and I watched.
Okay. But I also want to bring up that I thought one of the funniest things they said, and I believe it was Amick who said it, is that when they were going over the whoops, he's like, whoo, look at this long rhythm section.
Oh, wait, that's the whoops.
that was the greatest line of the night.
That was great.
I laughed. I love watching those little kids ride. That is so cool. That is just so cool. So a couple
of them got some pretty decent air on a couple of the jumps, too.
Those kids are for real.
Yeah.
I don't think I could beat those kids around the track.
Well, unless, you know.
I don't think I could. I definitely would spend a lot more time bogling.
Yeah. I don't even think a 50 could take you up the whoops.
Yeah. I was going to say, anyways, I know those kids are faster than me, so that's okay. But I can't say enough good things about putting those kids on national television like that.
It's great.
Genius idea. Let's talk 450 mains.
So, very first turn, it's like bowling pins there at the back of the pack.
Is it bowling pins, or is it I can't push my arm down to keep traction on the wheel, so I'm going to crash and take everybody out with me, Ken Roczen?
No, I don't think it's that. I just think that was...
Then I think you need to rewatch that turn.
I watched it several times, and I don't see that... I couldn't tell whose fault it was.
He ran into Tomac and then piled up and caused Pike and Malcolm and Grant.
And Malcolm got up holding his ribs.
Yeah, well, I don't know why, because there's a lot of padding on them. Here's what I noticed in the... Yeah, I'm just being a jerk today. Here's what I noticed. Speaking of being a jerk, you also need to check out the Doghouse Unhinged on Patreon.com. I totally forgot this. Patreon.com/NTN Radio. Check out the Doghouse Unhinged. We talked about...
And don't forget also to check out the Marvelous Ones.
Let me finish. I'm going to get to that stuff.
Okay.
We talked about some Olympics and we talked about artwork. So that always should be Warren and Phil talks artwork.
And
if
Olympics.
You don't spend $1 a week just to hear Warren and Phil talk about art, you don't know what you're missing. That's just definitely totally a situation like that. We also have another show on the network called The Marvelous Ones. If you like sci-fi and think we're retarded, that's definitely the show for you too. Check that out. Give it some listens. It looks like some of you already has on some of the early numbers. All right, but let's get back to 450. Turn one, rocks and crashes. Takes out Tomac, who ended up parking it.
Yes.
So much like I said the week one in the season when I said, oh, Tomac's season's over, he should have actually parked it and been like, I'm not going to win the championship, no point in racing.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what's the value for him doing it other than his paycheck?
And the risk of getting injured and
before
not having
motocross, yeah.
Yeah, which he's probably in. Well, I don't know whether, I guess it was just a bike. The bike got wrecked.
Yeah, I think so.
When Roczen took him out. And then Malcolm Stewart, I even said this in my notes, my handy little notes here, about the 450s in his heat race. For the first 2 minutes of the race, he was on fire out front. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then, like, you hit the 250 mark and he was done. That means... Fat Malcolm Stewart, and he could probably beat the hell out of me.
There's two things there. One, he has raced well at the beginning of all the races.
Right, because he's got 2 minutes of energy. He's like a rabbit.
He went a lot further in all the other races. I think he actually got banged up pretty good in that crash.
He did, but before that, he couldn't go more than 2 minutes. He definitely, I sound like Ric Flair right there. He couldn't go, I last all night, and he couldn't go 2 minutes. He definitely, if he was older, he would have been a patriot in Boston called the 2 Minute Man.
Oh, jeez.
Because that's all the
moving right along.
So, Malcolm, if you want to fight, I'm here in Manassas, Virginia. You can come here and punch me in the face. I don't care.
I would pay good money for that.
Yeah, that would actually probably be a pretty good fight. He looks like a big, strong dude. It probably would hurt. So then we get into the 450s. And why'd you get a shock?
I got shocked just now.
All right, that's good. Get back on your mic. Sit down. No one cares. Stop scratching your feet on the ground. So we get into the 250s and they rack. Then they get up and they're racing. Race. And then Cooper Webb goes by Ken Roczen with the rear tire again, much like he did in the season opener, but just not as bad.
No, it really wasn't that bad of a pass. It was aggressive, but not bad.
Yeah, but everybody was making aggressive passes.
All night, both 250s and 450s. Lots of aggressive passes.
Lots of aggressive passes, which makes for good racing, in my opinion. Humble opinion.
Turns out that there's more bad blood between the two of them than I knew about.
Yeah, so there is some bad blood, right?
They've been trading insults back and forth on social media.
Yeah. Well, nobody likes them.
Your mama this, your mama that.
Were they mama joking?
I don't know about that, but I just put it in there.
I was going to say, I love a good... I want to do a whole show just on mama jokes.
They actually dislike each other.
Yeah, well, that's always good for racing. Yeah. Rivalries are great.
It didn't this night.
Well, you know...
Unless you like crashes that take people out of contention and put them in the hospital.
Well, nobody likes that. But Ken Roczen did kind of... Webb went by him a little rough.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Listen, I don't think as rough as Musquin went by Barcia.
No.
And if you got to tell me who I'm going to hit, I don't think Barcia's the guy I want to hit. Yeah,
and Marvin's not known for his aggressive passes.
Yeah, I mean, he's French, right? I'm surprised he didn't, just surrender. but anyway.
Well, he hasn't done... He's been pretty good about not surrendering.
So Roczen, who's a German, who shouldn't surrender, he's conquers the French. He dove back in to try and pass...
The North Carolina boy.
The Southern Hillbilly. Tough in the corner. Right? And the one thing I'll tell
you
about Southern Hillbillies is the more you hit them, the more they just look at you.
And he wasn't going in for a gentle pass, a normal rough pass. If he had pulled it off, would have been a very rough pass.
It would have been a very rough pass.
He would have had blue paint on his orange bike.
He ended up in the rut. He ended up in the rut, and he overgassed it in the rut. And he was trying to beat him out of the rut. Right, they were both in different ruts, and it looked like he was trying to beat him out of the rut, and he gassed it. And what we saw there was then his bike fly up, the rear tire
It hit a little bit of traction, and he lost it.
Yeah, well, it kind of flew up, but I think because it lost traction. Right, it got just enough to get the bike airborne. The tire went up, it came back and it hit Webb, and then they all fell down. And Roczen's arm, actually his right arm, his good arm,
went between the wheel and the swing arm.
Got stuck between the wheel.
On the brake side, though, luckily.
Yeah, luckily.
Luckily for him, it was on the brake side.
Yes. And it got pinched in there, and we've seen the pictures.
It's nasty.
His arm's swollen up. It looks like he has a man-sized hand now.
He said he has a broken hand.
Yeah, he's got a broken hand. He's going to have surgery on Friday, and then we'll evaluate recovery time and stuff based on that. The arm's all chewed up and scarred up, and the back is. So here's what I saw. The guy who can't control because he can't move his arm or his wrist like we saw earlier in the show, that guy couldn't keep the bike down to keep pressure on it to complete that rough pass. He shouldn't be out there. The only reason that Roczen's fast at all is because the Honda's the fastest bike on the straight lines. This was a track where there weren't
very many big straights.
And he couldn't get out of traffic, and he can't fight in traffic.
I'm going to come around and agree with you that I think his physical condition did not allow him to have full control over the bike in that situation.
Right.
And it cost him an injury, and it cost Webb a chance to get in any places.
Yeah, but it cost him. Here's what I'm saying, and I know I genuinely don't like Roczen. But I said this before. Yeah.
So we get down to the end of the race.
Plessinger wins.
Plessinger wins.
Sealy. At the Sealy. No.
Plessinger doesn't win.
Sealy wins. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes and all I see is big P on it. You gave me the P on the brain. I'm sorry.
Musquin finishes second. And what I thought was going to be, if it had been another lap or three, I think it would have been a lot closer than it was. But
yeah, well, you know, that's
all right. And I'm going to end the show with my wife and I saw a motorcycle movie this past weekend that was really, really good called Sit, Stay, Ride, Sidecar Dogs. It's a little documentary about people who ride in sidecars, have sidecars for their dogs.
I hate that.
It was really well done to the point that my wife, towards the end of the movie, looked as obsessed. This makes me want to go out and get a Ural, which is a sidecar motorcycle.
I know what a Ural is.
Somebody might not.
Euro, no.
So it was a really good movie. It's actually on Amazon Prime, you guys. If you have Amazon Prime, go out, do a search, Sit, Stay, Ride. You will enjoy it. It was surprisingly fun.
I have the Prime. I'm going to check that out. I don't know if I can believe you, but I will check that out. This has been The Doghouse here on ntnradio.com. Like us, share us, give us your thoughts. Am I just being a jerk because I don't like Roxanne, or am I right? Sometimes I'm actually right.
Not often enough.
We'll be back next week.